All right, we're I think we're all in attendance. Where we left off last time, I guess 2 weeks ago, was that we were going to begin tonight discussing the use plan idea issue, and I did request that instead of us sitting here just starting from scratch, to ask VMRC to tell us exactly what that is and see if it sounds good to us. Are you VMRC?
Yes, I am.
So Ben's going to talk to us about the use plan idea.
So in the myriad of papers that you found on your table tonight, there's three that are kind of pertinent to this topic. One of them says duration of lease at the top. The other one says application for assignment. And then we gave you a couple of bills, but or a couple of laws or bills. And the one you want to look at is Virginia Acts of Assembly 2004 session, which was the Virginia water column lease for agriculture that was passed. I'll come back to that in a minute. But so there's a little discussion about identifying this topic, and then there was a discussion about talking about that this time. And your illustrious chairman, in attempts, I think, to get this down to where it's a manageable topic that we don't spend 2 hours talking about it, said to us, you know, well, what does VMRC really want in a use plan? And we've been talking about use plan here for a number of years as a better tool to manage the leasing system. So there was a shellfish task force that was created a couple of years ago to look at issues with the whole leasing program, and it met a number of times over a couple of years. There was some proposed legislation package that was never really introduced. There was, I guess, some offshoot bills that eventually got introduced this last session. Some of those were in reaction to the CAGE issue more than anything else. But regardless, we extensively looked at all the code sections related to oyster ground leasing and identified a lot of places where we could improve the code. One of them was notification, and one of them was the use plan. So the problem for VMRC, and this is my opinion, but I think it's – oh, by the way, Commissioner will not be here till at least 6:30. He had a meeting at Fort Monroe from 4 to 6 with some – actually Delegate Helsel, whose bill you have a copy of, and some other people about some other issues. So he does plan to be here, but he'll be late. So to get back to this, the code section that contains the duration of lease at the top, what you have in that, what I gave you, is just some background information that we put together when we were trying to look at changing the code a couple of years ago through this task force. So it kind of explains the problem and about leases and them being 10 years, and that there are some requirements to use the lease or use it. And we kind of call this the use or lose it law. So when a lease comes up for a renewal, we send out a form 3 months before the 10 years is up asking the person what they did on the lease. The only reason we lease oyster ground is propagate shellfish. That's the sole purpose. That's what you're supposed to try to do. And the law says that same thing. And the current law basically says we will renew the lease if you made an attempt. But it also says there's a bunch of reasons why we'll renew the lease even if you weren't successful at attempting to propagate shellfish. And they're in this section, they're on the third page, in the area that's stricken from this proposed language. So it basically says that we're going to approve your lease if you produced oysters, you attempted to produce oysters, you harvested oysters, unless the commission finds it was a good reason why you didn't. And the things we consider for reasons why you couldn't were these things that are marked through here, which include: it's next to a productive piece of ground that you own. It's it had MSX or dermo and killed all your oysters. It traditionally produced oysters. And the one that's really open is it just basically is kind of open-ended about that you just, you know, really couldn't make it. You couldn't do it. And so this is a huge loophole for me when people send back the form. And it's very difficult for me to deny a lease. We do have mandatory reporting now, so we do have a way to handle harvest, but the law says propagate, attempt to propagate. But attempting to propagate means planting, cultivating, trying. So harvest records don't tell the whole story, and I think they should. I think if you're trying, you know, you may get to keep your lease. But we feel like if we had a use plan up front when you applied, or at the end of your 10 years, or when you transferred the ground, those three things, if we could implement a use plan that was specific to your lease, to what you wanted to do, and we approve it, then that would be what you would be held to, not just attempting to propagate orchards with a bunch of like caveats of loopholes that you could slip through. So what we did here to try to keep it simple for y'all is not write a use plan. That's not what we think you should do in the code, is try to codify a use plan. Because first, it's going to be very difficult to get something like that passed in General Assembly because of all the nuances of what would that say and all the different ways people are trying to grow oysters. But if we had this code change where basically it's the italicized language you see here on the second page near the bottom, which just says, upon the expiration of the initial or any subsequent term of assignment, that we would require the submission of a written use plan detailing the methods of shellfish production proposed upon the leases for the subsequent term, the next term, for producing oysters and clams and molluscan shellfish, and shall be subject to approval by the commissioner. And then after that, it says the commission shall not renew or extend this assignment where there's been no significant production. This is the current language that's in the code. And then adding, during any portion of the original 10-year lease term, because currently we'd have to grandfather the 10-year leases in, and we're not going to come and jerk your lease out from under you, unless the commission finds it was good cause for failure to produce oysters, or thereafter as provided for in the approved plan for any subsequent. And it says 10 years now, and we're proposing, and this was controversial at the task force, 5 years. So that leases in the future would be 5-year renewable leases. But your use plan would be a 5-year use plan. And you'd have to hit that target in your use plan. And then immediately prior to the application for renewal, so each time you have to submit a plan before we renew it, unless the commission finds again, based on your plan, now after you fall into the 5-year plan, you'd be judged on your plan, not the old law that just said you've got to attempt and then there's these loopholes. So that's the gist of what we would like to see is just a mechanism in the code to allow us to create a use plan. So what we think is if we could do that, we could create a regulation that would be that would describe how the use plan is implemented. So it would be, and that's where this water column lease comes in, is that it would look something sort of like this water column lease that was passed but sunsetted and never really took effect. And it has some specifics in it about, you know, things we want to see when you apply. I'm not saying this would be the template of what we would want, but this is more of the detail that we think is better if the commission does that by regulation. It's much easier to change it if there's something wrong with it or it needs to be fixed than trying to go back to the code and fix the use plan if it's hardwired by the General Assembly and try to get that change is not easy once it gets into law. The complementary sheet that's with this is the application for assignment, and then the second page is the transfer. So you're going to see the same language on page 2 under application for assignment. So this would be a new application. So if you renew your lease under the duration of lease, you'd have to do the use plan, and that's where we kind of describe the nuances of it. Here it's just that simple language that just says, when you apply for oyster ground, part of the application process is going to be you have to give us a use plan. And it would be governed by any regulation we pass in the future of what it's going to look like and the criteria. But so a new application, and my thinking today was that if you don't give us a use plan, we'll stop processing your application. It'll be part of you have to do this use plan. And then you're going to be held to it. And that's the criteria you're going to be held to. And all the new ones would be 5 years. So the other law was changed in conjunction with this for the duration of the lease. Nothing in the application or transfer talks about the term of the lease. That's only identified in the duration of the lease. That's where that 10 years is set. So if we change that to 5 years, it would apply to new applications, it would apply to transfers. If it stays at 10, then it would still be 10 years. So you'll see it repeated again under the transfer on page 3, where it says application shall include a written use plan. So if you want to transfer ground, then the new person that's getting it needs to give us a use plan that we would approve. And if you don't give us one that's approvable, we're not going to transfer the ground. So we think this would give us a better tool to manage it. And also, we think the side benefit of this would be that the 250-acre per application that we will accept now, this might affect that. Because in today's world, with the lack of culch material, we would really have a hard time, I think, approving a use plan for traditional use of a lease where they're just going to harvest or shell the bottom on 250 acres. You better come up with a pretty good plan of how you're going to get that much material, you know, to replant areas if you're going to harvest off of it. Certainly people have traditionally harvested for years and rotated and gotten spat. So it is possible, but on huge acreages, it seems less feasible today than ever. So we think that might help this land banking thing that we've been seeing, where people applying for huge acreages and trying to resell them or hold on to them. And that might be a side benefit of this. So pretty long explanation, I'm sorry, but we're really just asking for some simple language. But we really believe these code sections, these three sections, duration of lease, application, and transfer, we need this language in all three of those. And very generic, just give the commission the authority to require a use plan. And that would help solve. Then people would know in an application if they were going to do cages. We would know that right at the beginning. There wouldn't be this question of, I'm getting a lease, I say I'm going to do on bottom, but the law allows me to put cages without a permit. If your use plan didn't say cages, there'll be no cages. You have to do what your use plan says you were going to do, and that's what we're going to hold you to. And you can't change it. I mean, that's our thinking, is you wouldn't be able to change it after year two. If we do that some kind of way with a use plan, I think it would require some kind of notification process again, you know, as an application stage, because you're changing what you're doing. So
any change of cultivation or use would actually almost be like going through and doing another, renewing the lease right then if you were right in the middle of it.
Well, I think our thinking is that think about this long and hard before you apply for ground.
Right.
Give us a reasonable use plan, and we'll look at it. And we'll probably, I think this is a give and take at that point. We'll work with you to say, you know, this, we're not really sure this will work, you know. We want you to be successful. Anyway, we come to an agreement on what the use plan is. Then that's your five-year use plan. There's no changing horses in the middle of the stream. That's, you know, if you can't succeed, then give up the lease. And we think there'd even be ways with a use plan to build in, you know, targets for year one, two, or three, and if you don't hit them at all, perhaps, and this might be controversial for me to say, but perhaps we could write it so that we take your lease back after 3 years. You said you were going to do all these things, and you did none of them. You haven't done anything and hit these targets. I mean, I think the thinking for us is, if we're going to manage this better, give us the tools, and people who aren't doing it, to somebody who will do it, you know, that will use this ground productively. And again, you'll know up front when you get the application, if the person says they're going to do cages, they're going to do traditional, they were to do a mixture of both. I mean, that's legitimate. I think they could ask to do both. But right at the application process, you'd know more than the questionnaire we use now, which is non-binding. We say, are you going to do clams? Are you going to do oysters? Are you going to do on-bottom? Are you going to do cages? Are you going to do cages more than 12 inches? And they just answer yes or no. But they're not held to that. That's just so we can, if the public calls, we can say, well, they've applied. Here's where they've applied. Here's what they say they want to do. Here's what they can actually do by law. So even though they said no here, they could change their mind. But with the use plan, that might not be the case. We could have a better handle on it. So I think the language here is pretty simple, what we're asking for. So,
my question has to do with the enforcement. Who would be responsible? How would this be enforced?
Well, I think that's going to fall on us. You know, we're going to approve that use plan, and you know, I don't know how my staff would handle it right now if we were doing it. You know, we might need more people, but you know, this is a growing industry that I think we need more staff right now. I can't keep up with the applications, so but this would be part of that whole process. So, and this, you know, this is independent of if a person says they're going to do cages and they're doing something wrong. I mean, that would still be, we would have law enforcement take care of that.
Ben, would you envision the use plan would be part of the notification process?
Well, I think for new applications, certainly, because we could make that part of, you know, what we publish even, you know, that they've asked to apply for this amount of ground and a synopsis of what they're used, you know, very short, but it would be available to the public. For transfers and renewals, there is no current mechanism in the code for you to get a second shot at a lease, you know, at the end of 10 years to object. It's just automatically transferred if they meet the criteria. And I don't know that we've thought about that.
I guess the corollary question would be that what you're saying assumes that they do not change their use plan. But if they were wanted after 5 years to change their plan,
if they could meet their use plan in the first 5 years, you know, we would.
Right, but
I think they could. Yes, every time it's renewed, I think we're thinking if you want to add, you know, you've done it on bottom for the first 5 years, and then you wanted to go to cages the next five years. And his question is, would there be notification? We could build that into the, I think, the regulation.
I think that's what you're going to hear from the landowners. That's kind of what a lot of this has been about. They want to know ahead of time.
But
when cages are going to
current law, we can't do it. I can tell you that right now. We have no mechanism at the end of 10 years or when someone transfers a lease to do any kind of public notice again as to what's the new guy going to do versus the guy's transferring it from, or is this guy who's just getting it renewed, is he going to continue to do the same thing? He could change his mind at any time and go from traditional to cages, or he could go from cages to traditional.
But with your proposal, that could be part of it.
That could be part of it, yeah.
Any other questions for?
And we still think the commission would be the best mechanism to do that, not the General Assembly in the code.
Are you recommending that they do this, have these use plans?
Yeah, I mean,
does your group?
We would like to see a use plan. Yes, the agency would like to see the ability for the agency to have a use plan. I think we're not so comfortable with saying we want the General Assembly to write it for us.
Well, see, my problem with this is this whole thing is that we're supposed to be talking about the Lynn Haven, and the Lynn Haven is what 90% already done. And so none of these are going to come up. There's not going to be any use plans in Lynn Haven because you said they're not going to be retroactive.
Well, I think as key leases, if this legislation was already in effect, what I proposed today, and we had created the use plan system, then every time a lease comes up for renewal in the Lynn Haven, there will be some that come up next month. Every month there are leases coming up for their 10 years. So as soon as we approve, as soon as they hit that 10 years, they'd fall under the new 5 or 10 year plan, and they'd have to create a use plan at that point. Whether the public will have an input or not, I think we're having that discussion now. That could be made, maybe that could be made part of the use plan process, that the public gets another shot at commenting. And this doesn't mean necessarily if we allow that and the public comments, that we wouldn't still approve a lease that some in the public don't like what the guy's going to do. I mean, the commission does that right now. I bring protested applications to the commission right now, new ones, and they're protested, and they get assigned. So somebody wasn't happy when they leave. And sometimes they get denied, and somebody else is not happy. But
the new proposed 48 yet, but I understand that.
The term of the lease would still be 10 years, but the use plan would be five? Is that?
No, I think what we're proposing here is that the term of the lease would be converted to 5 years.
5 years.
Effective immediately if this was passed. A new application would immediately be 5 years when it was assigned.
So
all the existing ones would be coming up incrementally over month, year.
And whenever they do, they would convert.
They would convert to a 5 year.
And so the...
The worst case of leases in the Lynn Haven, let's just go back to the Lynn Haven.
Right.
There are some leases that were assigned before January of this year, because we couldn't assign anymore after January. The commission stopped us. So that's your worst case scenario. A lease that was assigned in December of last year gets it for 10 years. Whenever this legislation passes, that's probably when it would start. So. That was our attempt to bring you something of what would the commission like to see. That, you know, we're not bringing you a detailed use plan right now. If that's what you want, I don't have that for you.
A couple comments. First, I agree, keep it out of Richmond. If you do it, do a use plan with the commission. However, I also have to play devil's advocate a little bit here and say that one of the reasons that our shellfish aquaculture industry has been so successful is because of the flexibility that they've had in being able to change their method of growth to suit what's happening in the industry, or to change the species that they're growing. So if you implement this use plan idea, be very careful about the way you word it in terms of what can and cannot be changed in the use plan.
And I hear you, and I understand that. I think the devil's in the details of how we would word that. But, you know, I don't think, and Jim might want to weigh in here, but, I don't think we're going to try to micromanage, you know, whether you use a Debbie or use, you know, you have to use a diploid or you have to use a triploid. I don't know that we're going to get down to that detail. We're really looking at methodology, I think, to some degree. And yet, and I understand this would restrict that to some degree versus what you can do now. If you give us a use plan, if you really want to do multiple things, put it in your use plan up front.
Well, I'm afraid that's what you're going to get. And you're going to get a use plan that says, I'm going to grow these six different species. I'm going to use these six different grow out methods so that they can pick and choose what they want, and nobody is going to be happy.
Are we using six species for oysters now?
No.
No. Okay.
There are at least three different molluscan species that are being considered for culture or cultured. Hard clams, oysters,
bass. Oh, okay.
Yeah. The other ones are strains, not species.
Yeah, I think to create this, we would probably, in this scenario, we would create a regulation that would establish how this use plan is done. It would flesh out those details, and I think we would definitely want industry's input while we're working on that regulation. Do the best we can to tailor it so that it's workable and not a mess.
So how do you deal with the case where somebody has a huge lease, and you know what is enough to justify that huge lease? Or so is there going to be some kind of metric per acre basis, or had it?
It's possible. I mean, some states do it that way. Again, I think what you would see here, and you know, industry may not like this, but if you have a 150 acre lease and you're only really using 30 acres of it, because the rest of it is not really suitable for the activity you're doing, and maybe not suitable at all,
right?
Then why don't you give up part of your lease, which you can do at any time. We will reconfigure a lease at any time, make it smaller, and make your use plan fit the acreage. Because if your use plan can't, if you can't get a reasonable use plan to use 150 acres, why do you need 150 acres? And there'll be an argument that there's a buffer characteristic. I know Mike, I'm already seeing Mike.
Wheels turning right out of my mouth.
And I think when we build that into the use plan, that some of that's reasonable, you know, some buffering. But I can tell you, we got a lot of leases that are really large, and there's big, big portions of them that are not really suited and they're not being used.
And if that person turns that lease in, someone is going to apply for that piece of ground right away.
But they better have a use plan that they can make it work, if we have a use plan.
They may have a use plan, and you give them 5 years. In a period of 2 years, they have already harvested everything off the man's lease next door. So we have some serious issues on that.
And Ben, I think I understand where Ken's coming from in asking VMRC where to begin with a use plan. I sat on that Shellfish Management Division task force. We went through this use plan as it pertained to statewide. I don't think that what we're discussing here is, and you all, the residents in Lynn Haven, tell me, I think what I hear the residents of Lynn Haven wanting to know is when lease grounds are coming up and there are cages being put on them. I might be wrong about that.
You're right.
Well, see, we agree. I think this is really a lot more involved than what they want to address in Lynn Haven, I think.
Okay. Well, let me just say this.
I know it's a starting point.
Last meeting, this was identified as the topic we were going to discuss first here, is the use plan. And I think there's a lot of cross, you know, all these things kind of cross over each other to some degree. And I agree with you. I think this is more of a statewide management issue than it is a Lynn Haven specific issue.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets tangled up with the notification. I think we're back to that we have a regulation that allows cages on leases and there's no notification process. And that's might be the fix, is what y'all started on the last meeting was, well, a buffer where landowners might get a chance to comment before we let someone put cages on a lease. And we can do that with the current we can modify that current regulation to add some additional steps, you know, whether it's a distance offshore or, you know, just notification in the Lynn Haven, anywhere somebody wants to put cages, we notify somebody within some distance, or we require a bond or something for cages so that there's some assurance that when things go awry, you know, that the person has at least put up a letter of credit so we can... which we do require for, if you just ask for a subaqueous permit for cages, you have to provide us with a bond or a letter of credit now for that. So I think that could address that issue. We're just here because we were asked, and then Ken said, well, to focus this down, come back, tell us what BMRC would like to see in a use plan. So that's what I did tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And it may very well be way beyond the scope of this group.
I actually think it's very... important to the discussion of what we're seeing there, so it is part of the overall discussion everywhere.
Right. And it is, but so, I mean, it's y'all's group to have to come up with recommendations. We're just trying to give you some background as we were asked. So.
Did I just hear you say that under your current mandate in the code, you could require use plans or notifications specifically for the Lynn Haven system?
I think we could change the regulation about cages, because that's how we manage allowing people to put cages on leases. And I guess it could include some type of notification provision in it. The on-bottom regulation that Fisheries issues the permit for, which is for cages more than 12 inches,
mm-hmm.
requires that.
Right.
Requires notification of landowners within, I think it's 500 feet. So that could be done. The use plan's a little trickier. I've had these discussions with the commissioner. I think we could probably require a use plan right now by regulation for applications. I'm not sure about the renewals and the transfers, because there's this section that says, at least for renewals, that here's the criteria, and there's a bunch of exceptions. So how do you tell someone a use plan, and then at the end they say, well, the reason I didn't hit my use plan was the MSX and Dermo killed all my oysters. And well, what was the purpose of having a use plan if you got a loophole that makes it irrelevant? So, you know, that's kind of where we are with the whole renewal thing. But I think we could require one at the application stage. We probably would need to create a regulation or somebody create that mechanism and make that part of the application at the beginning. And you have to provide it. Or else we don't process your application.
So
if that doesn't help you with all the leases that are already existing.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, so we're wasting.
Yeah.
You're suggesting that 4VAC 2335, which is the 12 inches above bottom, could be modified to specify different requirements for the Lynn Haven.
I don't know of any reason why I couldn't. Anybody else from BMRC wants to weigh in differently, let me know. But a regulation basically can be written very specifically for specific things or areas, I think. And the Code of Virginia is already written that way. There's some very specific language in the code now about the Lynn Haven. Brown is condemned more than 180 days. It's all grandfathered out, but you know, there were some specific code sections for specific areas of the state. You can't get a riparian lease in the James River above the bridge. And it's tributaries. You can get one everywhere else in the state. So, you know.
Last meeting, was it Dr. Wesson? Was that his name?
Dr. Wesson.
He referred to the fact that 80% of the Lynn Haven is not, the bottom is not suitable for oysters and only 20% is. Is there a survey or something that we could see? I'd love to get a copy of that just to look
at. I'll let him address that. I don't think that's exactly what he said. I think he meant for oyster aquaculture cages, but
cages, okay.
He wants to address that directly.
Well, even that would be helpful.
Yes.
Yeah. Do we have a survey available? Can you get one? I mean, when you determine that, you don't have any.
When you talk about a survey that extensive, that's quite expensive. I mean, it's something we're not equipped to do things like that.
I was wondering how you arrived at the 80 and 20. You know, what was the basis?
Because spending that much time out there around the state, I mean, that's pretty much statewide like that. I mean, if you took a PVC pole and you went out in Lynn Haven and you crisscrossed, you can do it yourself and see what the percentage is of hard bottom versus soft bottom. And the general trend in the bay-wide is a conversion of hard bottom to soft bottom because of what comes off the land through sedimentation. So it's, I think, just from what we, even our public grounds are less than 20% of them are suitable for growing oysters. So it's not a, it's just a generalization on pretty much common knowledge. If you wanted to go out and delineate exactly where the salt is everywhere, then that would be a really, really big job that we don't have the funds to do something like that.
Mm-hmm. You said the bottom is too soft. How soft is soft?
Well, I mean, very common. There are different degrees of softness. There are some places that you can push a pole in that you'll never feel the bottom.
Right.
They've probably always been like that. But the majority of the areas are, you can push a pole down a foot and you feel what it used to be when we were catching millions of bushels of oysters.
Okay.
But those are filled in. And so you're not going to take cages out where the legs are only 6 inches tall and they'll go a foot in the bottom because you lose all your oysters. So we're very limited on locations for cages.
Is it allowable or even cost effective to remove that? Or, I mean, not, it's not cost effective. Okay.
I don't think anybody would ever give you a permit to do that.
Okay. Well, that was just
dredging. It's core.
Well, I understand that.
Core would go crazy.
Yeah. Okay.
That's a dredging.
Well,
Yeah, and just to add on what Jim said, you know, it's only getting worse, not better. I mean, we've done a lot to reduce sediment runoff, but, you know, there's still sediment going into the water all the time. And most of it's not conducive to growing oysters. It's not good material. So we're losing, you know, even losing some of the areas that are good for agriculture due to sedimentation.
I guess my question to the industry, am I hearing that you're more in favor of some type of permitting requirement for cages in the Lynn Haven with notification required more so than a use plan?
Say that again.
Yeah.
Can
you say that again?
I'm asking, you're raising objections to a use plan, which VMRC really feels it needs. And so I guess you're more opposed to that than requiring a permitting process with notification for cages?
I was not expressing total opposition to a use plan. I was saying that we're going to have to be very cautious when we make it, because the industry has been built on flexibility and being able to say, gee, this on-bottom cage is not working. Let me try rack and bag, and being able to shift their methodology in midstream, so to speak, in mid-use plan. So we just have to be very cautious in how we approach a use plan, understanding that the industry is flexible, and what works for them today may not work tomorrow. Or they may decide that they don't want to grow oysters anymore, and they want to grow clams, and they have the proper salinity, the proper bottom, and they want to switch species. Under the use plan that Ben described, they'd have to sit and wait until their lease comes up for renewal and submit a brand new use plan, if that's the way I interpreted what you said.
So would your objections, that objection, disappear if the leaseholder was allowed to submit a new use plan at any time during his lease, if he wanted to change his methodology?
I think that has to be considered. Well, there has to be some flexibility to the use plan. If the guy starts and he says, "Okay, I'm 2 years into this use plan and it's obviously not working. I don't want to sit for another 3 years losing money, not trying something else until I can have a new use plan. I don't want to water the use plan down." And I do believe that the use plan is something that has merit for new growers. Someone who's just entering the industry has never done it before. Those are the ones that I'm more concerned about than someone who has been in the industry for years, has a track record, and decides to do something different.
I mean, basically, it sounds to me that the use plan is kind of, I mean, it is a plan, and it could be evaluated at the beginning of any lease. I'm just kind of thinking out loud. If you do have this scenario that you're talking through about, and you actually go through, it seems like in some cases you have permits, and part of the reason you had the use plan is because you don't have permits, right? And so if you wanted to make a change, it almost seems like you could go through, if you did a permit process or something like that, and that would actually, you would go on record as trying to do that. So, I mean, that might be another way of handling a change in progress, is you go through a full permit.
But the permit process also has to have the flexibility in there.
Oh, okay.
And I guess my concern is not over this use permit, but how does this address the issues in the Lynn Haven?
Well, that was the thing about notification. That's why I was asking Ben, if someone who had a, first of all, the first time they file a use permit, there is notification, you know, a new lease. But then if they, on renewals, if they change their plan, would there, could there be notification? And so basically the Lynn Haven people are worried about cages.
Right, right. Right.
And so if you had one that, someone who had a use plan that, like if Chris had his plans, I'm only going to do on bottom aquaculture here, but then 3 years from now, he says, now I want to put cages in, then he would file a new use plan. And as part of that, because there's a change, there would be notification again. And that, to me, would take care of the Lynn Haven issue, to me, cleaner than having a whole permitting process. Okay, well, John has a question for you. And then,
no, I don't.
Oh, you don't need more?
No, you just said exactly what I was getting
at. Oh, okay. All right, now Richard has...
I don't have a question. I'm nervous. I think, as I understood, air charges try to reduce conflict, and that's what we're here for. And a use plan is very tempting and very sexy to me, and it really makes a lot of sense. But on the other hand, we got to be careful that in a use plan, we don't take what Mr. Nixon said a couple of meetings ago. They have some good ground and they have some marginal ground, and you're making them put more cages on the marginal ground so they don't lose it, or because of a use plan, you're going to force more cages where the guys really don't want to put the cages yet. So it's not going to reduce conflict. It's got the potential to increase conflict by making them do stuff that they're not ready to do yet. They want to do it years down the road. They want to be able to grow. They want to be able to do this. They want to see how they can deal in the softer bottom or whatever. But we got to be careful that we don't do something that creates more conflict. And if I don't have a problem with the use plan, but I want to make sure we're not making people do stuff they don't want to do because of the use plan, and the stuff that we're forcing them to do is going to create more conflict. That's not what we're here to do. Sorry.
No, I agree.
I agree.
Mr. Cowan, can I address that a little bit?
I use his name in vain. I owe it to him.
You use my name in
vain. Does the committee want to take Pete Nixon's public comment at this time?
Yes.
Yes.
All right, Pete.
Sure.
I'm not going to take this, but the other thing you want to consider is to go along with what Richard said, is do you want to introduce more folks into the system in Lynn Haven? If they take a lease from someone that has a fairly large lease and they can't meet all the new requirements after a renewal, they'll lose that lease. Well, that lease is not going to lay fallow. This is the point I was trying to make. Somebody else is going to move in there. Ben just said they can subdivide a lease and give another grower a smaller parcel, and then another grower, and then another grower. The bottom that we use now, we do mostly wild harvest in Lynn Haven. We're not big cage folks, but we need them some for storage in Broad Bay because we have this rain event system. We need to keep 10 or 20 days worth of oysters in somewhere up in Broad Bay because the Lynn Haven closes every time it rains more than an inch for 10 days. And we need to be able to work 10 days. The last couple of weeks, we've had rain event after rain event after rain event. We're not open again until day after tomorrow from 2 or 3 weeks ago. And we have run out of storage oysters. But what this is going to do is give smaller growers who are probably going to not do that we do, rotate through your fields, harvesting here, harvesting there, harvesting there. But they're going to put cages on, and they're going to try to grow oysters. You can't imagine the amount of calls that John Meekins has had, people wanting to try to break up his bottom and buy a little piece here and a little piece there and a little piece here, and that's going to continue. Staff says no, but I don't believe it. So you take a chance on these use plans of increasing the type of activity that you folks particularly don't want. Just keep that in mind. It's probably a good idea maybe statewide, but in the Lynn Haven, everybody covets Lynn Haven oysters, and a lot of people want to put them in a restaurant. So activity will increase.
All right. So I envisioned the use plan
because it would be something that would identify where the cages were going to be. And I did not envision a use plan that covered all his species and all this other stuff and And so I would prefer to move on with this conversation rather than to keep rehashing it, because the issue right here is this conflict in these cages. And if we can figure out another way to eliminate the conflict in cages, I hope Ben gets to have his site plan someday that he'd like to have statewide. But as far as the Lynn Haven is concerned, I like what you just said. You know, we got to figure out a way to...
What I just said was supporting the use plan.
No, but keeping the use plan simple.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, because
yeah.
The homeowner wants to know, are you planning to put cages in my backyard?
That's exactly right.
That's all the use plan that the Lynn Haven people want to know is, where are you going to put them damn cages?
Which the use plan, as I envisioned it, would do that. A permitting process would do that, but it's messier. I think it'd be more intrusive.
Have we maybe gotten to where we need to be with notification and the 150-foot setback? I just throw it out.
I do a lot of regular real estate development, and we have to create these things called site plans. And a site plan would be different than a use plan, and site plans are about what we're asking for. We want to know where the cages are, and a site plan says this is we're going to do this, this, and this, but it doesn't say how we're going to do it and get into the details and the minutiae of it all. I'm just trying to figure out, maybe we need to change our nomenclature to site plan rather than use plan, and then you can still go for your use plan deal, but what we're trying to do in the Lynn Haven is identify the areas that are going to be going to have cages in them.
Trying to sell you all on the use plan idea.
You were responding to our questions.
Sure. And I don't think we would try to micromanage the use plan. And I'm not sure we're going to get down to the minutia of species and, you know, if we implemented this in the future sometime. But I understand where you're coming from. I think that's a good analogy. A site plan is more relevant to the discussion we're having about cages in the Lynn Haven than a use plan. It seems to be cages are the big issue, and where are they going? And do I ever get a chance to comment on that? And exactly. I don't know where they're going until the guy decides where they're going. I don't know that. Here at the agency, he's got the right to put him on his lease. And
that's why we need a site plan of some sort.
He doesn't put some where somebody doesn't like him, I do hear about it. And if it's a complaint, we look at it. And occasionally we agree with the complaint and say, you have to move them. They're causing a problem. But that's a reactive, not a proactive solution. So if you want some input at the front end, then we have to make a change somewhere.
Ben, do you know of any state that is doing something like this, a site plan, that is similar to what you're doing, so you could possibly find out what the operator behavior would be?
Jim may know better than me that there are a number of states who require more like a use plan that we were talking about, that you have to plant X number of bushels, or you have to hit some pretty robust targets. If you don't hit them, they take your lease. But that specific question, I'm not really sure. I mean,
okay.
We'll try to get that answer for you. But.
And do you see...
There's certainly buffers. The other states certainly have some buffer requirements about riparian lands.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But
I guess I was trying to, you know, part of the problem, or I don't know if it's considered a problem. You have everything that's leased in the Lynn Haven, and is the idea here that this would potentially, what do you think the impact would be in the Lynn Haven? More that it would free up area or not? Or, I mean, the one scenario Pete was basically saying.
Use plan?
Yeah.
Again, it's what is the use plan? I mean,
yeah,
what are our criteria going to be? I don't know that I have a good answer for that.
Well, I
don't
think,
really think, you know, I don't want to necessarily disagree too much with Pete, but I'm not sure it's really going to cause a whole bunch of new people to jump in.
Well, actually, I was going to refer to Pete.
There are people trying to buy, you know, like from Meekins and other people, and it's happened. There's been some leases subdivided down there, and people are trying.
Right.
Some of them being successful and some of them not so much.
I tend to agree with Pete that any lease that is, quote, given up is going to be taken up, and there's going to be continued efforts to subdivide, or not subdivide, but buy leases from somebody because of the people that are interested in growing oysters in the Lynn Haven.
I think the conundrum is here, because most of the Lynn Haven is leased, and a lot of the area that's conducive to aquaculture cages, not all of it, but a lot of it that's suitable, is being used to some degree. And there's a lot of bottom that, like Jim said, in the Lynn Haven, it's been leased for years, and they've never done anything with it. And under a use plan requirement into the future, it would be difficult for those people, I think, to give us a reasonable use plan that would work. I don't think people would swoop in and lease those areas because they won't work. The guys in the industry know where the good places are. And, yeah, there might be a few cases where they can pick up some ground that might be useful. But, you know, I really think a use plan would – this is just my opinion – whether it's Lynn Haven or statewide, would result in a reduction in the amount of leases ground that we have. We have leases in the middle of the York River that are so deep that...
It might reduce the number of leases that you have, but will it reduce the number of cages?
Unknown. It's unknown. We're still getting applications in areas that are good for leases that no one traditionally leased because it was too shallow to dredge. But we're still on the uptick of people trying to find hard bottom where cages, and there's a lot of nearshore area that is hard enough to support cages. A lot of it's inshore people's leases who thought they leased up to the shore when they got it. And it's either eroded away or there is a strip in there that they just didn't push it. They didn't say, well, I don't want to go right up against the shore. I'm just going to make people mad. And that's the prime spot a lot of people are looking for all over the state, not just the Lynn Haven. Trust me, I'm having this issue. I'm having this discussion like, y'all are telling me in the Lynn Haven all over the state.
And that is making
wherever people live.
But Ben, hasn't VMRC in the past denied those slivers of ground right up against people's...
Yeah, well, we traditionally don't support shoestring, what we call spaghetti leases. And I think a lot of these that are under application now, we're going to recommend denial. But we have to take their application. There's no mechanism for us to deny an application. If there's vacant bottom there that is in a shellfish growing area that will, you know, that will support shellfish, then we take their application and the chips fall where they fall. That's why we have so many protests at once right now. There's a lot of applications in areas that...
But they can be denied.
Absolutely. The commission always has the option to deny an application, and the staff recommends denial sometimes. And the commission agrees. We don't sometimes, and the commission still denies it, and the opposite. Yeah. You get all kinds of commissions from the decisions, but the commission always has the option to not lease ground. And we will be taking some, and we have taken some to the commission in the last couple of years that were not protested. But we recommend it against leasing for those reasons.
Ben, when this first came up, there were groups that went around to all the homeowners associations, and they showed films of, oyster floats, acres of them, and factory boats were coming in, going to come into the Lynn Haven, and I truly didn't understand all of it, but it was really a frightening thing for a lot of the people on the homeowners. But one of the things I've learned here is that that potential is just not suitable for the Lynn Haven. You're not going to have, it's a cottage industry, and we're not going to get any larger than that. As far as the boating is concerned, 80% of the water will always be open to boating, and that 20% is probably shrinking over time because of land pollution and what have you. I'm afraid we're going to probably open up things that some of the things that Pete mentioned, where you get rid of some of these larger leases and people will be coming in, and we're going to end up with a problem, I mean, a lot more with the people that are trying to hold it down. The solution might create more of what they don't want. That's what I'm thinking.
I have no crystal ball. What the unintended consequences might be.
Yeah, exactly right. That's just scary.
Now, shows how wrong I am again. I really thought this one was going to be a no-brainer.
I keep telling you, don't keep thinking.
But simple. But it's good that we have all this, because there's a lot of information that I'm learning that I just didn't know, and it's been very helpful for me.
And again, I mean, if this is an issue that you don't want to make a recommendation of any kind, I mean, that's, I'm not trying to, it's y'all's committee. You know, I'm just trying to hear, give you support and information.
This whole committee was formed mostly because of cages. I mean, and I don't think that we're going to come out of this with any type of resolution, I guess, that Richmond kind of is demanding from us, unless we come up with some mechanism that the homeowners get to have get informed and have some method of commenting, objecting before cages are popped down. And so if we don't do it via use plan, then how? I want to go over this.
I think we're back to the two-pronged thing, notification.
Right, notification.
So notification at the beginning, and there's notification if someone wants to put cages on a lease.
And 150-foot setback, which...
Yep. Well, that's kind of what y'all came up with last time, and I don't know if you want to revisit that issue again. We did give you the Helsel bill that was introduced last year that would have changed the notification process, and it has some distances in it. Now, again, this is for new applications, but the reason we gave you that was, you know, whether we want to talk about notification more, but that's a model of how we would envision notifying people. There's a distance in there. It's 500 feet. It was modified in committee to less than that, and it never passed, but and it changed some of the notification requirements, to reduce the number of newspaper ads, and required notification of people.
You're talking about Bill DeStef's bill?
No.
This is Gordon Helsel's
bill, and he actually withdrew the bill.
He withdrew the bill. It did get modified in committee, subcommittee to some degree, but it never really saw the light of day.
He withdrew the bill, yeah.
Hap, it's on your, it's right here.
Okay.
Yeah, I gave you a copy of that.
I'll read it when I get home.
I think if notification of cages, that could be handled through the regulatory process, modifying the existing regulation we have. We have an aquaculture cage regulation, allows cages on a lease, and it has some conditions. Can't be more than a minimal impact to navigation, has to be non-toxic, has to be marked a certain way.
But that's no reason you can't add another for temporary enclosures that has the notification and all requirements. Cages less than 12 inches above the bottom, and that's the cages they're talking about.
Yes.
Currently has no notification process.
I agree, right. But that regulation that allows them to do that could be modified to add some type of notification within some distance. Only in the Lynn Haven, within some distance, only in the Lynn Haven,
yeah.
Or statewide. But, I mean, we're really talking about the Lynn Haven. So, and you already talked about wanting some kind of notification if they were going to be put within 150 feet. This is the regulation, I think, that would have to be changed to do that.
335.
Yeah, and it would have a Lynn Haven section, I guess.
Come on, King Saul.
Again, yeah. What is the will of the committee? You know, to me, the use plan idea was the simplest way of dealing with that.
We don't have, if what we're dealing with is cages in Lynn Haven, we don't have to have a full-blown use plan. We can have a site plan or a use plan with hearing process for cages, additional cages. And we don't have to worry about a statewide plan or whether they're going to shift to oysters or clams or, you know, what type of oysters. It's the type of structure that it's we could require or try to require a site plan or a use plan for with notification. And that, to me, is part of what we're trying to do is minimize conflict.
I think when we were talking about use plan, the phrase use plan was different in our minds of a use plan in the Lynn Haven as opposed to what VMRC is looking at as a use plan.
Yes.
Right. I think back to it's really more like a site plan.
Right. Right.
This was the only thing we could bring you was our right. past work on a use
I understand.
Plan.
You. We asked. Yep. Yep.
I think we've talked about it and it doesn't fit.
Yeah.
Hopefully it was useful or we just wasted an hour.
It would have been more
useful.
I think
it was useful because it made us focus
right.
back on the Lynn Haven and the problem that we're facing in Lynn Haven as opposed to a statewide issue.
It would have been more useful to me if I'd had these documents before I came.
Sorry, but I was out of the office for like 10 days. I was scrambling to get what you got tonight.
Well, I mean, I can't read it and comment on it at the same time.
I understand.
Yes, Millie?
I do have a question. Are we all in agreement then we're going from 10 to 5 years, whether we call it a site plan, a use plan? Is that at least one step forward in coming together in agreement?
Well,
Was that not even more
of a use plan. I think if it's a site plan related to cages and you want some kind of notification built into the regulation that, you know, it's the current 10 years. I mean, they have the lease. And if they already have the lease and they now decide they want to put cages on it and we make some kind of notification process and give the public a chance to comment and oppose it and actually stop it, you know, there'd be some commission decision that said yes or no. That would be yes or no. You know, no, you can't put cages on it. On that area of your lease or any of your lease. Or yes, you can, but here's where you can put them. And the commission makes that final decision, and the public gets to say they like it, they don't like it, and there's a final decision. Just same way the commission makes a decision now. There, like I said, there are people that leave commission meetings now who are not happy with the decision because they oppose what was being proposed, whether it's an orchard lease or a joint permit application for a pier. The commission makes the decision, and it's appealable to court, and that's the way it is. But if we made a mechanism here where there was an ability for the public to comment on if a guy's proposing cages and you get to comment and the commission makes a decision, it'll still be a commission decision, yes or no. You know, I don't know how to build a system where you get an automatic no when we lease oyster ground to grow oysters on. And people want to try different methods. And they ought to have the right to at least ask. And maybe they're told no sometimes.
Put it before the commission.
I mean, leases are currently 10 years. And that's the way it is. Minimum of 10 years.
All right. If that works in Lynn Haven.
All right. Mike, you have a.
What was that?
Well, Kim says she can probably live with that, so I'm asking you.
Live with which one?
just making a.
I was listening.
What Ben was just talking about, basically, just a regulation applying to the Lynn Haven that if you're going to put new cages down on a lease, that there is a notification process prior.
If we're talking Lynn Haven specific, yes.
I think he's talking Lynn Haven specific.
Yes.
If you do it everywhere, and you're basically just doing a use plan.
Where it becomes open for public comment and goes before the commission.
Now, I think that's back
if
to
it's protested.
That's back to site
yep.
plan.
Yeah. Yep.
I think we ought to stop talking about use plans and start talking about site plan.
Right. Potatoes.
He was just asking by the state.
Yeah. Lynn Haven should have a site plan. Let's just move along with that.
I agree with that, but getting back to Millie's question about five-year lease, that's a separate question, but I'd like to see us in the Lynn Haven when they renew their leases go to five-year renewals instead of 10-year in the Lynn Haven.
They could change in the code.
That would have to be a state.
It would have to be changed in the code. There's only one term for a lease in the code, and it's 10 years.
Okay. So we can recommend that.
I'll do whatever you want.
No, it's not you. I'm just talking about. Yeah,
that's not a
regular. The legislators I've talked to would like to do that, but you know that's their problem, not ours.
All right, back to the latest of via regulation making a notification process, a site plan for Lynn Haven for new cages.
So what's the value of the notification? Is that a way to protest a? So what's the difference between that and the permit process that you have?
There's no protest.
Well, currently on a lease, you can put cages up to 12 inches, and you don't need a permit.
I understand.
Any other way of putting a cage on the bottom, whether it's on an unleased bottom, or if you want to do more than 12 inches, requires some type of VMRC permit. Which does require some different public interest and public notification. The public notification for cages is getting the lease. So you initially got the lease, there was a public notice. And I know everybody's going to say, well, we didn't get notified. It was in the newspaper and I didn't know about it. But that is the notification. And once you got the lease, you, by the current regulation, you could put cages on it, and there's no other requirement. There's no other new notification to the landowners. But that's what we're talking about, is adding that to the regulation, which would give the public the chance to protest, yes, for lack of a better word, putting cages on the lease. They wouldn't be able, you wouldn't take the lease away from the person.
Right.
But, and the commission, if we couldn't work it out, would make the final decision of, yes, you can put cages on this lease. No, you can't. Yes, you can put 10. And here's where they have to go. Or, I mean, that's the kind of decision the commission could make, is any of those. And that's what they make now. The regulation could be changed. I mean, I think that's what y'all are asking for, a site plan type caveat in the regulation that allows public comment for new cages that are going to be deployed on a lease in the Lynn Haven.
All right, so you two can live with that.
Mm-hmm.
What about cages that are already there?
Say that again.
I said new cages, so good question.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to grandfather the ones that are there.
We've kind of already discussed that.
Yeah, we can't. So.
Yeah. Well,
exactly. There is a process now to object to cages that are out there. Call me. But you got to have a reason. Got to be something that's in the regulation now. Basically, navigation.
Are you talking about if I put more cages out, then I have to come and go to a permitting process?
I would think if you have
before the 10
300
years,
cages on your lease now, and you wanted to go to 500. I mean, I'm just free forming here. Uh-huh. But yeah, you'd have to increase the number. You'd have to go through the process. I would think. Your whole lease wouldn't be grandfathered, I don't think. That's not what y'all are trying to get to. You've got leases already down there. You would like some input for more cages. This is the only way to do it, I think. Else, all cages are still grandfathered the way the law is written now. And the caveat is, put them in and someone complains and we might make you remove them, but for some reason, but... I mean, I'm just telling you how I think that would have to work almost if you change the regulation. What's the point of doing the regulation if everybody down there is already grandfathered that has at least one cage on their lease? You know what would happen. Everyone would put cages on their lease while we were getting ready to formulate the regulation. Yeah. So they had at least one cage.
How many can I get out there the next week?
Yep. Unintended consequences.
At a renewal of a lease, does that constitute new cages or just a continuation of the process? I would argue that it's a continuation of the process.
That's the way we treat leases now.
And that they should be continued to be permitted.
I'm not sure how we could even do a regulation to control. Because basically says if you renew the lease, it's just renewed.
Again?
Well, no, I know you're not going to do that.
I have a comment.
Are you at least with new cages? Are you okay with them having to notify ahead of time?
Yes. Okay. I'm happy, and I'm voting for more disclosure, more notification, more people involved in the decision. And if this is one little step, that's cool.
All right.
Yep. I like that.